You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast.
Okay, today we're going to speak about speaking in tongues. Now, we're just going to go through just generally about speaking in tongues. We're not going to great depth. I could probably give 20 talks on speaking in tongues. So we're just going to give an overall sort of gist on speaking in tongues and how it all works. And then later on the teachings, there's a section on speaking in tongues. You can go through and listen to all of those. But basically, we know that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that there is an evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. You speak in tongues. Now, there are four different types of speaking in tongues. Now, there's tongues for edification, which is a prayer language that Jesus gives you when you receive the Holy Spirit. There's tongues for interpretation, which means that when you speak in tongues, there is an interpretation which follows it in English or the language you speak. Then there's tongues for intercession, which is praying in tongues and all of, and it's specifically designed for intercession, for praying on behalf of either yourself or someone else. That's what an intercessor is, a person who stands in the gap. So the Holy Spirit will stand in the gap for you or for someone else. And we'll go through them. And then there's a last one, which is tongues for, and it's very rare this one, but when people actually are in another country and something needs to be said, in that language, the Holy Spirit can move upon you, and you can speak that language. That's very rare, and there's a lot of controversy about it because a lot of people who don't understand it go, "Oh, phooey, it's not true." But I have actually seen it, and I was one of those phooey guys. And until I've seen it and understood it, I'm a very skeptical person, and until I've seen it, very open-minded but skeptical, healthfully skeptical. So, and I've spoken to these people. I know them, and well, I'll basically give you a quick rundown of them, and then we'll leave that particular aspect away, and we'll go and concentrate on the other ones. But okay, I know of a minister who's actually been overseas, and he's didn't have an interpreter at that place. And he asked the Lord, and the Spirit moved upon him, and he gave a sermon in that particular country's language. And he's done that, I think, 9 times. I know two brothers who went to Fiji for a holiday, and they were in a Pentecostal church that they knew, and they're from Australia. They didn't speak Fijian, and they operated the spiritual gifts at a specific time. And where they had tongues, then interpretation, tongues, interpretation, tongues, interpretation, then 3 prophecies. And one of the Australian brothers actually gave a 4th tongue. And he went to the pastor at the end of the day, at the end of the service, and said, "Look, I'm sorry, I did that. You know, you were waiting for an waiting for a prophecy." And he said, "No." He said, "I gave a word of prophecy in our language." So to him, he thought he was speaking in tongues. But to the rest of the congregation who were Fijian, he spoke to them in Fijian. That's pretty amazing. Another one, if I hear about these and I ask the people specifically, I sit down and talk to them and ask them about it in great detail. Another brother, he's working in a farm, and he had some Chinese laborers there. And the boss was trying to get them to put some covering over a greenhouse. And it was all men, all hands on the job type job. And he couldn't get the Chinese guys to understand what he was saying because they didn't speak any English. One of them spoke a bit of broken English, but he wasn't able to convey the information to the rest of them. He wasn't obviously a leader. And anyway, one of the brothers, he just said, "Lord, we really need to get this tarp over this thing. There's a storm coming." And he spoke to them in Chinese. He gave them instructions on how to actually work together as a team and how to pull this tarp. And they did it. And the owner of the farm was amazed that the brother had spoken Chinese. The owner wasn't spirit-filled. And he came to the Lord. And one of the Chinese guys, they weren't brothers, they were just workers, who spoke broken English, said to him, "Look, we didn't know you spoke fluent Chinese." And he said, "I don't." And anyway, that's another incident. He was able actually to do that a couple of times while the anointing was on him. Anointing stayed with him for a couple of months. And it's pretty amazing. So that is a rare type of speaking in tongues. The reason it's rare is because we don't operate in faith in that realm. We don't operate in faith. There are people I come against. Everybody who speaks in tongues can speak in tongues for edification anytime, any place, anywhere, at a drop of a hat. They don't have to wait for the Holy Ghost to come upon them. And the Holy Spirit says in 1 Corinthians, the prophet is subject to the Spirit in that particular, in operation of the gifts, but the Spirit is subject to the prophet in the church as well. So when it comes to the spiritual gifts, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, all of those things, you can't do it until the Holy Spirit moves and gives you a word of wisdom. You can't get that. You can't get a word of knowledge just out of thin air. The Holy Spirit has to give it to you. But when it comes to speaking in tongues, it is the only, speaking in tongues for edification, your own personal prayer language, is the only gift that the Lord has given you that you can do at a drop of a hat anytime you want, as much as you want, whenever you want. Because it's for your own personal edification. It's a prayer language that Jesus gives you when you receive the Holy Spirit. So when everybody receives the Holy Spirit, they speak in tongues. And that speaking in tongues that you hear when a person receives the Holy Spirit is tongues for edification. It's a prayer language that everybody can use to build themselves up. In Jude, there's only one chapter in Jude. It says, "Ye, brethren, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Now, a lot of people say, "Well, that could be praying in English." Well, it can be. You can. You can pray in the Holy Ghost in English. I suppose you can. The Holy Spirit moves upon you. But specifically, the context. We always go for context. Okay, so if we go for context, we might just see what the Bible says. The Bible says in chapter 14, okay, it says, okay, we'll just go to it here. "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries." So you speak mysteries in the spirit. And there's if you go to my talks on speaking in tongues, you'll find out about mysteries. It's actually, in a nutshell, mysteries are the things that are hidden from man since the foundation of the earth. The things that are pertaining to your walk and how to walk your walk out, those mysteries. The mysteries that are about you. Those mysteries, the hidden things, the things that God wants to reveal to you. It says in verse 4 and 14, it says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church." So when you speak in tongues, you edify or build up yourself. But when you prophesy, you edify the church. When you prophesy, you're prophesying in the language of your country, and we'll say English, and you're going to edify the church. You're going to build up the church. It says, in 14, it says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Obviously. See, Paul's explaining in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians about speaking in tongues. And he's saying that speaking in tongues is for edification. He also talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the spiritual gifts. And we know that in 14 it says, For if I pray in an unknown tongue, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. As I said in Jude, it says, ye beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And, you know, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are praying in the Spirit. Okay? And it says in 23, if therefore the whole church be come together to one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelieving, will they not say that you are mad? So if you've got a whole bunch of people speaking in tongues and someone who's not a Christian who doesn't know what's going on, I'll think you're mad. So it's not for public use. It's for private use. Now, the church can come together and all pray in tongues as a prayer time. But in an open meeting to the public, unless the church has explained it to the unsaved and the unlearned that we're going to pray in tongues now, right, then it's probably best not to do that. So if you pray in tongues, you make an announcement, we're going to pray in tongues. And if people who are coming along who are trying to become Christians, they'll know already. Okay? So that's what speaking in tongues is all about. It's a prayer language. It's for intercession. It's for interpretation. So you speak in tongues and then there's an interpretation and for speaking in another language. But you'll get a lot of people. I've come across them and they've said, look, I can only speak in tongues when the Spirit moves upon me. They've been taught wrong. They've had wrong doctrine given to them, wrong teaching. You can speak in tongues anytime you want. And we're talking about praying in tongues. It's for your own edification. God would like you to pray in tongues a lot. I personally try to spend about 3 hours a day praying in tongues. I don't always get the chance, but I try to. I do it for my own personal edification. I do it because I want to receive the mysteries from the Lord. You know, if you pray in tongues, you'll find that God will start revealing things to you. You'll start reading scriptures and going, wow, that's amazing. I didn't know that. The Holy Spirit will start revealing things to you. Will start revealing things about you, yourself and your walk. When you worship, you bring the presence of God around you. When you're in a church and everybody's worshiping, corporate worship brings the presence inside the church. But in your own house, in your own lounge or living room, you can stand there, raise your arms to the air and start worshiping God in English and in tongues, and you can bring the presence of God. Or you can speak in tongues for your own personal edification, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When a person receives the Holy Spirit, I encourage them to start with a prayer language. I encourage them to pray. When I first came along to the Lord, Tuesday night I received the Holy Spirit. Wednesday someone came around and told me, this is the best way to cement your walk. This is the best way to make your walk nice and strong and firm. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And a brother got me down praying for about an hour and a half every day for a year. I tell you, that energized me something wonderful. I received such revelation from God as a newborn babe in the Lord. It was amazing. The revelations that I received were so intense and so great. I had dreams. I was operating in a lot of the gifts, and it was amazing. Because I spoke in tongues, I edified myself. I built myself up. It's interesting, if you actually look the word edify, it and you look at uh, Look at the word in Jude, verse 20. It says building yourselves up. It means building an infrastructure. And the best way I could explain it is like, if you build a building, you build all the infrastructure and then you hang all the sheeting around it. If you're building a big building, you build all the framework and then you hang all of the walls around it and the roof on it and everything else. Could you imagine praying in tongues edifies, it builds infrastructure. It builds infrastructure inside of you in the spirit. And in that infrastructure, God can dwell. So the bigger the building you build inside yourself by praying in tongues, the more presence, the more places that God can dwell, so to speak. The more rooms you build in your house inside, the more places that God can dwell and can reveal to you certain aspects of his kingdom. So once you understand that revelation, you won't be able to stop you from speaking in tongues because you'll know they'll be doing good. It's a wonder that the enemy is so organized in stopping people from speaking in tongues or praying in tongues. You'll get churches who'll get up on Sunday and they'll give talks about why you don't have to speak in tongues, yet it's in the Bible. You'll get churches who'll stand up and say, speaking in tongues of the devil, yet it's in the Bible. And they don't understand that they're dancing with death by saying these sort of things. They're ignorant. And Jesus spoke to the Pharisees when they accused him of being filled with a devil when he healed somebody. He said, you better be careful. He said, because the things you're speaking about, you could be blaspheming the Holy Spirit, because the devil doesn't heal. They were Pharisees, and yet they didn't understand these fundamental truths. They didn't understand the difference between the light and the darkness. Jesus said that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I come that you may have life and life more abundantly. The devil doesn't come to create, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He hasn't got a creative bone in his body. He is unable to bring forth anything that is of any value. He is unable to bring forth anything that is lasting. He can only kill, steal, and destroy. Now, but Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. And through the creative power of the Holy Spirit, revelation comes by praying in tongues. So really, when you receive the Holy Spirit, or you find somebody in your little church group or in your meetings and they receive the Holy Spirit, disciple them. Get them praying. So often I've come up against church groups where a lot of the church members are all spirit-filled. They all speak in tongues, but hardly any of them pray in tongues. You'll find them to be, when after you've fellowshiped with them and spoke to them in great depth, that they're very lean on their understanding about God. They can worship, they can bring the presence of God in the meeting, but their understanding of scriptural or understanding of spiritual things are very, very lean, because they haven't built themselves up on their most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. They know how to worship. They can bring the presence of God, and people could be fooled by saying, well, God's stick in this room, therefore everybody must be super spiritual. No, people just know how to worship. I know people who pray in tongues a lot but don't really know much about worship. So they have a lot of revelation, but they really don't know how to bring the presence of God into their geographical area. But you know, speaking in tongues, you'll get a revelation eventually on how to worship. But if you worship, you may not get the revelation of speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the first platform for everything. You can get a dumb Christian, no offense to Christian, you can get a Christian who has no understanding, who's spiritually skinny, who's living a life of sin, who's so far out there, so missing the point, it's not funny. If you get them praying in tongues for extended periods of time, you get them praying in tongues for, say, 20 minutes a day, and then up to an hour a day, within 6 months, he will surpass many people in the church. His life will straighten up. The Holy Spirit will say to him, this needs to be fixed up. You've been praying in tongues, you've been praying these mysteries, and I'm here to minister to you. You need to fix this up. And then they'll either back off or give it over to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will fix it up. Smoking, drinking, swearing, having wrong conversations, they'll start to drop off. And the person will start to get on fire. And you have to run around throwing buckets of water over them. They'll be that on fire. They'll say, why am I so on fire? Because they've been praying in tongues. Really, if you were the devil and you wanted to destroy a church, stop them speaking in tongues. If you're a pastor and you're smart, get your people speaking in tongues. Get them continually, get them on a regular prayer regime. Organize prayer nights where you all get down for half an hour and pray in tongues. Do it every week or twice a week, and you'll find that your church will just skyrocket into the realms of manifestations of the Spirit, of joy and peace and happiness. You'll find that things will just start to turn things around. You'll start seeing miracles and healings. You'll see people stepping out in faith. You see people coming up with revelation that they'd never thought before because the Holy Spirit had spoken these revelations into their spirit. And then it'll float up to their soul, and they'll be able to understand them. And they'll start to say, why do I have a great desire to want to read the Bible? Why do I have a great desire to want to talk about Jesus? Why do I have a great desire to want to talk about Jesus and not my car or what I did last week? Or the holiday I'm going on in 3 months. Why do I have a great desire? Why am I always thinking about Jesus? Why am I thinking about God all the time? Why is this peace over me? Because you've been speaking in tongues. It can get a half-dead Christian and bring him fully alive. Speaking in tongues, the enemy hates. It's no wonder that if you look in all of the church or a lot of the churches, they have a disproportionate understanding of speaking in tongues. They don't understand how it works. They don't understand the reason behind it. So they refute it and they relegate it to some craziness over in the corner. If you get a little prayer meeting together and you start speaking in tongues, 4 or 5, 10 of you in a church, you'll find that you'll start leading the whole church into light. You'll find that two things will happen. Everybody else will follow you into the light, or they'll throw you out the church. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? So you get 4 or 5 people praying in tongues. They get excited. They start getting revelation, start getting on fire, and they go to the rest of the church and say, this is what's happened to us. And the church says, wow, we're coming along with you. Or they throw you out. Or they segregate you to the little black back room where no one wants to know you. Isn't that funny? It's a reality that all Christians face. The more you go to the light, the more the darkness wants to repel from you. And sometimes there's a lot of darkness in a lot of churches. Sometimes the churches look good until you start operating in the spiritual realm, and then you realize that they're not really a church of God. Anyway, look, we'll leave that there. And, okay, yep, right, all right.
So if you'd like to partner with Don and I and help support us, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.